Payne Sales, a grade one stakes winner of over $1,319,000 by champion sprinter and leading sire Sprightstown. First foals of Weanings. Majestic Prince is a grade one stakes winner by Harlan's Holiday with brilliant speed. Steve Asmussen described him as the fastest horse he ever saw. Divine Park is a grade one winner with two graded runners, one of them grade one in his first crop. Girolamo is a young grade one winner by AP Indy. Tomorrow at Keeneland, you'll find Weanlings by Haynesfield Majestic Perfection, Divine Park, Girolamo, plus mares and foals of Haynesfield Majestic Perfection and Divine Park. In the consignment of Brereton C. Jones, Airdrie Stud Agent. Just go to Barn 25. To see the Tuesday consignment, go to Barn 42. And the Thursday consignment, Barn 25. You'll find more Weanlings and mares and foals to the Airdrie Stallions. And it's a proven fact that in the past, the Airdrie Stallions have been your key to racing profit. For more about Mr. and Mrs. Bird and C. Jones Airdrie Stud, go to the website at airdriestud.com.
Horse Tales with Ursula Ellis, the horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursula Ellis.
Good morning on this bright, sunny morning here at the Thoroughbred Center. Been a pretty busy morning, and it's going to be a little bit busier because break now for the renovation break has ended, and they're going to start clocking at any second. So if you hear a lot of noise in the background,
we're clocking.
I've even lost Jackie over there. You know, she's going over there to help clock. But I've got Michael Blowen here with me, and he brought his Saturday racing form. Is that it?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay.
Going up to Churchill Downs today.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Well, throw 20 on the ground for me.
Got an outing.
All right. How you doing, Michael?
I'm doing great, Ursula. I found out this morning that Groupie Doll's going to have one more race. She's going to race in the Cigar Mile up at Aqueduct for Fred and Buff Bradley, so that's really good. And thank goodness Mandy Pope has that horse. That's really great.
Yeah. I didn't get a chance to read it, but I saw that she was going to run one more time. Run again. It didn't say. But I guess you had to read the article, and I was in a hurry, and I did.
Yeah, that's always part of the requirements.
Yeah.
But it was the day that she got sold over there was really, really an amazing day. I mean, there were fans from all over. She got a big round of applause. They followed her from the barn. It was like, I think it was like when Secretary got off the farm to get off the plane to retire at Claiborne. She couldn't have got a better response. I mean, it was amazing.
Yeah.
It was like the paparazzi following Elvis around.
I'd love to have seen her.
Yeah, she was amazing, and she handled it all with great class. She's just looking around, checking everything out, but
those high-class horses, most of them have a lot of sense. You
know? I know. I'm starting to learn from some of mine. I'm trying, Joe.
Yeah.
I'm trying to move up the ladder, at least get out of the 3,500 claimers and up to 5,000.
Maybe you can learn from an example.
That's what I'm trying to do. We had a busload of fans from the University of Missouri yesterday in for the game, and so they came over to the farm. That was nice.
Oh, good. Well, they've got a pretty good football team, too. They ranked ninth?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Well, Kentucky's had a murderous schedule.
Well, they're in the SEC. What do you expect?
Well, yeah. Well, nobody expected Missouri to be that good.
Well, you know. It's tough. It's just tough.
Yeah. Well, Kentucky's done all right, you know.
Yeah, they are.
They're definitely on the improve. But what do you think of the Breeders' Cup?
Well, I like Cresilium because I bet him went up at 7-1.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
So that was good. You know, I'm old, but you know when the NBC used to do it a whole afternoon to the coverage and it was all concentrated on one day and you got a lot of great features about the horses. I just really, really like that. And if you go back and you look at you know, some of the DVDs or the tapes of the early Breeders' Cup. I mean, the coverage was unbelievable. The detailed stories about the horses and the trainers and the owners, and they really, really, it really drew you in.
Yeah, I know.
And now, I don't know, it's more like, you know, here are the odds, who's going to win? It's all handicapping. You don't get into the heart and soul of what makes the sport so great.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you because, you know, I used to just settle down in front of the TV and spend an afternoon, you know, and, you know, going to, you know, Mike Cameron, don't you?
Of course.
Yeah. All right. We got all kinds of people around here this morning.
This is fabulous.
All kinds of celebrities.
Well, everybody but Dr. Bias has got bigger fish to fry this morning. So.
Yeah, I understand he's got an old friend come from out of town and couldn't make it today.
Yeah. He's got bigger fish to fry than us. Well, he sends his best to everybody. And I told him I would do the horse health segment and explain everything to people.
Oh. we got a mute button around here somewhere.
Oh, bad advice department.
Yeah, right. Well, I think going to 2 days has hurt the coverage, don't you?
Absolutely. It's so diluted. And plus, you have to make 2 trips. I mean, it's much better having it concentrated, I think. And it makes it more important. I mean, now that there's so many other races with big purses, they got to compete too. So now it's even hard thinking about with the races in Dubai and the other ones with these mega purses.
Yeah.
It's hard to think of them as the world championships again now too.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. We picked up the earlier races on HRTV.
Yes.
Is that the only place that was showing them?
I think so. NBC Sports, the NBC cable station, didn't pick them up till later.
No.
And then I think that, I don't know, because I was watching on HRTV too, and then I went over to Keeneland.
Yeah. Well, who in the world signed that kind of deal? You know, I mean, that's a bad deal.
It's a bad deal. Well, you know,
I thought ESPN was going to do it.
Where's he going with you?
Well, no. They're going to start doing some races, I think. They're going to start doing some more races in February.
Well, it's Fox is getting their own racing channel now. Is that out yet?
I don't think so, no.
Yeah. But they're going to start carrying a lot of racing.
Well, that's good. Yeah. You know, you got to start somewhere.
Well, exactly.
You just watch how much racing there was on TV compared. They couldn't get NASCAR on TV. And they just gave NASCAR away to TV, and look what's happened with NASCAR.
Yeah.
And certainly, horse racing is 10 times more interesting than that.
Well, I think so.
Yeah, I do too.
I mean, you've seen one race, you've seen them all, other than the collisions.
I can't even tell who's in. You know, I got to go to the Indianapolis 500 once. I got invited to the Indianapolis 500.
That must have been painful.
Well, I'll tell you, Diane, my wife Diane, she wasn't excited about it at all.
Yeah,
you know, she's not really into loud noises.
Yeah.
So, and a lot of other things, big crowds and, you know, all that business. But anyway, I thought, well, you know, you don't get a chance to go to the Indy 500, but once, let's go. So we went on Friday where they had the preliminary races, and they went, and it was so loud that we couldn't stand it. And so, as we left that day, my friend who got us the tickets turned to me and said,
if you wanted to.
Don't forget tomorrow, bring a radio so you can figure out what's going on in earplugs.
Oh, my God.
And I'm going, if I have to go to an event where I have to have a radio to tell me what's going on in front of my own eyes, and I have to wear earplugs, I'm really not that interested. So we left that night in the dead of night, we snuck out of town and came back to Kentucky.
Many years ago, back when Kay Wood Ledford was doing the calling the UK games on the radio, you would see people sitting in the stands with phones listening to Kay Wood. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, he was the best ever.
Yeah, he was great. He was great.
Yeah. Not that Tom's bad. Tom does a great job.
No, I know, but he's following a legend. It's like who's going to follow Vince Scully and Mike? They had somebody really, really good. Or,
well, now I never thought I'd say this, but he calls a better football game than Kay Wood.
Yeah,
he really does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tom's a good guy.
Yeah, he is a good guy.
A really
good, very good announcer. He is. He pays attention and he gets excited.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Got a good eye for detail in the, you know, the ebb and flow of the game.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. Well, it's like racing. I mean, the announcers play such a big part in the sport. You know, it's the same thing. That, you know, the ones that really understand, as I say, the ebb and the flow and the drama of the race are so much better than the other ones.
Yeah.
That just to tell you the numbers and who's ahead and this and the other thing, and they're just going to fall asleep in the middle of the race. But anyway.
Everybody's here. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. This is great. I didn't know you. Is it your birthday or something?
No.
Oh, I'm checking.
I've had too damn many of them. I hope I have a few more anyway.
This is terrible. This is terrible name dropping, but I called Angie Dickinson a couple days after her birthday. She just turned 82.
Yeah.
And I called her. I go, Angie, I said, I forgot your birthday. And there's this long pause, and she goes, thank you.
Let me take a little break here, and we'll get back and see what's going on at Old Friends a little bit there. Well, Arch is a side of blame. Winner of the Grade 1 $5 million Breeders' Cup Classic. He's the sire of London Bridge. Winner of the Grade 2 Breeders' Cup Marathon just the other day. And that was on the 1st, I believe. He's the Broodmare sire of Kentucky Derby winner. I'll have another. He's the Broodmare sire of Uncle Moe, winner of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Arch represents a sire line noted for stamina. Stands at Claiborne Farm for $40,000 doing a full stands and nurses. Last Saturday at Santa Anita, the Grade 3 Senator Ken Matty Stakes was won by Ponsentrain, a 3-year-old filly by Warfront. And Declaration of War, 4-year-old colt by Warfront, was a dead game third, beating a nose and a head for all the money in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic. Ponsentrain and Group 1 winner Declaration of War are listed among the 18 2013 stakes winners by Warfront. Warfront currently ranks 4th on the general sire list. He's the youngest sire among the top 20. The son of the great Danzig, Warfront stands for $150,000 doing the full stands and nurses. Stands at Claiborne Farm. For more information, call Bernie Sams, 859-233-4252, and see the website at claibornefarm.com.
Want unlimited access to pedigree reports on more than 2 million foals for a low annual cost? Then Brisnet's American Produce Records is for you. Updated in real time and available on demand at brisnet.com/APR and optimized for tablet and mobile, the APR Online is the place for instant access to a wealth of information on North American thoroughbreds dating back more than a century. The annual price, $275. Visit brisnet.com/APR and discover why American Produce Records has been the choice of bloodstock and racing professionals for generations and why a new generation is using APR Online.
Well, tomorrow at Keeneland, Indian Creek, long recognized for the high quality of their sales consignments, is offering 5 well-bred mares and foal to desirable stallions, plus 6 weanlings, all excellent individuals. They're in barn 22. There's where you'll find a half-sister to a graded stakes winner, out of a stakes winner carrying a foal. In the first crop by Algorithms, a young graded stakes winner by Bernardini stands over Claiborne. A young $100,000 earner, that's a half-sister to 2 stakes winners and a stakes winner and a stakes producer, also in fold to Algorithms. A young winning daughter of Smart Strike and stakes winner Top-Notch Lady in fold to Bellamy Road. A half-sister to the graded stakes producer in fold to Algorithms. And a half-sister to 2 stakes winners in fold to the leading freshman sire, Colonel John. The weanlings, there's a trap shot out of a Go Zappa mare. Trap shot's first fold of weanlings. He's a graded stakes winner by Tappet. He also stands at Claiborne. A filly from the first crop by Wilburn stands over at Spendthrift Farm. This is a graded stakes winner. He's a graded stakes winner by Bernardini. Out of a mare that earned over $100,000. A colt by Yes It's True. That's the first foal out of a half-sister to a stakes winner. Another trap shot colt. This one out of a winning half-sister to a graded stakes winner. And a really nice street sense filly out of a young half-sister to 3 stakes winners. 2 of them group stakes winners. The next group consigned by Indian Creek sells Tuesday, and you can see them in barn 40. And to ensure your purchases, go with a firm that has been in the business for over 80 years, the Clay Ward Agency in Paris, Kentucky, 859-987-1871. Oops, try that again, 987-1861, first year of the Civil War. Can't forget that. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency, 2 names to remember in the thoroughbred business. Right now. All right. Michael Blowen is with me again. Doc's not going to make it today. But he hopefully he'll be back next week. It's hard.
Yeah, he'll be back. He'll be back next week.
I hate to do a show without
him. I know, me too. Dr. It's Byer. Not the same.
Yes. Well, it's an honor to have him on the show. He's one of the, you know, world's most prominent and best, most respected vets in the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
And a thoroughly nice guy. And what are you reading?
I'm reading about Cat Launch.
Oh, are you?
You know Cat Launch?
Go ahead.
The greatest Ohio bred in history.
Oh, okay.
Won a stakes race at 13. 40 wins.
40 wins. Mm-hmm. Well, he was busy. How old is he? 17?
I think he's 14 now.
Thank you. Well, he's not still running, is he? That was Miss Bolt. Yeah.
No, but we're working on getting him retired to Old Friends.
Are you really?
Yeah, it's really going to be cool. He's going to lead the post parade at Beulah Park today.
You know, they're changing. They're not going to use the River Downs names anymore.
I know.
Did you read that?
I know.
That's a shame, isn't it?
Yeah.
And they tore up the track, both tracks, moved them to the, you know.
I know.
And they were great tracks.
You should go up there and take a look at it, though. I went by there, and it is really beautiful.
Is it?
Yeah. I miss the old grandstand and, you know, all that.
It was a great,
really great place. But I think this place, I mean, if they're going to change it, these people are doing a great job. They really are. I mean, it is beautiful.
Well, they got the casino right on the grandstand, mm-hmm. you know. Now, do they have enough seats for people to,
yes.
you know?
Yeah. Go yeah, ahead. They should. And somebody told me their purses are going to be $200,000 a day.
God almighty.
Yeah, let's get back into business. I told them to write a race of for non-winners of a race in 20 years, I'd bring some of the old guys up.
There you go. Hey, we've got a couple that would fit there.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's funny who you're running. I ran into a guy at the sale the other day, he was telling people like to tell you stories about the horses that they knew. And he owned Jamila. He's part owner of Jamila. Gulch's dam.
Mm-hmm.
Just tell me about her. And then I ran into Chris Baker, who's at Windstar, and he's telling me great stories about Afternoon Delights, one of the amazing horses he was. He said when he first came off the farm as a 2-year-old to go to the racetrack, Chris was an assistant for Richard Mandela.
Is that right?
And he got a call from the guy that ran the farm and said, and he said to him, I know that when you guys get these horses off the farm and they go to the track, you put them in a stall and let them settle down. He goes, don't do this. He says, as soon as this horse gets off the trailer, put the tack on him and get him off to the track. He said, I've been doing this job for decades. He says, and he's the only horse I've ever met I couldn't get tired.
Is that right?
Yeah. So you pick up great stories at the sale from that helps fill out the great stories of these horses that we have at the farm.
Yeah. Well, we had that old Crafty Prospector Guild in it I had that was fox hunting, you know, and the Master of Hounds was riding. Not the Master of Hounds, the guy that was in charge of the dogs and that. What do you call that, the huntsman? Or?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
I only know if they got saddle cloths on them and I can bet on them.
I don't know. Anyway, he used him. And he said he could never get to the bottom of him.
Yeah.
I mean, that horse could go all day.
Well, he told me when Afternoon Delights, he won the Hollywood Futurity and beat Thunder Gulch by 6.5 lengths. Chris McCarron, Kent DeSormo told me Afternoon Delights, he says, you know what, Michael, he's looking right at Afternoon Delights when he's telling the story. And he goes, I won the Derby on Real Quiet and on Fusaichi Pegasus, and I won it on Big Brown, but that horse right there is the fastest animal I've ever run in my life.
Is that right?
And Chris told me that he bowed a tendon, and that's why he didn't run well in the Derby.
Is that right?
But he ran sixth in the Derby on a bowed tendon, and he said he was just freakishly fast. He only had 12 starts. He won 7 races.
Yeah.
And earned over $1 million.
Yeah, now you've got it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I adore him. And Bert Bacharach, the songwriter, owned him, and he used to stand over at Brary's. Over at Air
Yeah, right. That's where he went. I still see winners by him all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
And he still runs.
Yeah.
If he's down at the other end of the paddock and I call him, he starts off, he'll take a few steps slow, and then all of a sudden he breaks into a gallop, and man, it is amazing.
Yeah.
It is amazing. I think he's 23 now, and he still runs like the wind.
We've got two more coming in, incidentally, from Exceller.
Wow, this is great.
We got conned into that.
No, this is great you're doing that. That is fabulous.
Well, these are going eventually to Lisa Malloy.
Yeah, great.
But she can't take them right now for some reason. We're just going to have them for a couple of months.
That's what I tell people. Ask Alfred Knuckles. He's had some for several years now. We got horses at Alfred Knuckles, and we moved some horses over to Knuckles Farm with Charles Knuckles, with Knucks. I mean, the neighbors have been fabulous.
Yeah. There's a new rescue place down in Paris. Did you hear about that?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know those people. Do you?
No, not yet, but we will.
Yeah, I'm sure you will.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They're, they've just got 2 or 3 right now, but it sounds like, you know, I want to get to know them.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, because some of these people, you know, you don't know if you want to talk to them or not, but I'll find out more about them.
he gets sucked in.
Yeah.
And once you get sucked in, you're through. You have to really watch it, though, and because, you know, one, if the, you know, you get a problem with one or two horses at one of these places, and it's good that it's really good that the Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance is going around inspecting all these farms and making sure that, you know, the grants that they're going to do, that they're going to do through the NTRA, are going to go to farms that have passed their rigorous standards.
Yeah. Yeah, that is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's good.
Because now that they're getting money, you're going to have a little places popping up here and there, because now there's some dough involved.
That's exactly. See, that's what worries me a little.
Yeah.
Bit.
So, you know. And
but Lisa Malloy, you know, she's the head of Rerun.
Lisa's the best.
She actually is the best. Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. And of course, she's not fooling. She's not doing what you're doing, you know. I mean, she's getting them ready to go on
again. Yeah, exactly right. And she does a great job doing that.
You're running a nursing home.
Pretty much, yeah. But I got a horse. We got a young horse named Game Day News, who is absolutely unbelievable. I mean, he is so gorgeous. And he's young. I think he's only 5. But he was owned by Bill Parcells, the football coach, and Wayne Lucas. They paid $350,000 for him. He never raced. He broke his ankle. But now he's doing great. And I think he'll eventually go on to, he can go to a program like Lisa's, and Lisa can take care of him and retrain him and send him off, because I'm telling you, he's a beauty, and he's really smart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about the horse that win all of the 21, 22 races?
Yeah, Rapid Redux.
Yeah.
22 races.
You would think that he would want to do something, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
but
horses like to be busy, you know. Man.
Well, some, you know, they're like us. At different stages, they like to do, I think they like, and you have to, each one of them is different. Some of them just want to stand around. They don't even want to run. Some want to run. But when they get relaxed, which they do at Old Friends, I mean, they really get relaxed. They enjoy themselves, and they don't want to do anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them don't. Because we tried it with Chris, Chris McCarron in the jockey school, with Dan the Bluegrass Man.
Yeah.
When we first got Dan the Bluegrass Man, he'd just come off the track, and he was sound.
Yeah.
And we sent him over to Chris's to work with the jockey school and do all that stuff. And a couple days later, Chris called me. He goes, "This horse is dead lame." I go, "What the hell?"
Yeah. Well,
that's not – well, what happened was he was faking it, because we got him back to the farm. He limped onto the trailer. This is absolutely true. He limped onto the trailer. Oh, my God. We get him on the trailer. We bring him back to the farm.
Yeah.
And can't figure out, should we put him in a stall, or should we put him in the round pen, or should we put him back on the field with his friend Flick? And Flick's going nuts, and he's going nuts, so we put him out in the field, and he just ran off.
Yeah.
Totally faked it. They're smart. They're smart.
Oh,
really smart.
My dad would be faked.
Yeah, he faked it. He faked it. Tell him. Ask Chris.
All right.
He faked it. I doubted a lot of things. I went by, this is another special ring who ran in the Breeders' Cup, and he won the Eddie Reed twice out at Del Mar, the grade one. Earned, I think he retired like 60 grand short of being a millionaire.
Yeah.
One day I'm walking by him, and I said, "Hey, special ring, let me see your tattoo." And he flips his lip back and shows me his tattoo. Now, people don't believe this either, but it's absolutely true. And then I started giving him carrots. Now he does it all the time for the tours and everything else.
Yeah.
But I didn't teach him to do it. He taught me to, if he did this, I would bring him carrots. So I don't train them. They train me.
Yeah. What's your next fundraiser going to be? Yeah.
Well, let's see. We got a couple of really great ideas coming up. There's a guy that makes ebonite bowling balls. You know, ebonite makes all the bowling balls.
I didn't know that. But.
Well, there you go. You never know what you're going to find out listening to this fabulous program.
Yeah.
He makes them down in Hopkinsville.
You're making bowling balls in Hopkinsville.
Yes.
Well, that's
so.
I learned something.
The next
today.
Keeneland meet, we're going to have a bowling tournament with trainers and jockeys.
Okay.
And people.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a big bowling tournament sponsored by ebonite.
That'll be next spring now.
Yeah. Now I'm working on another thing where, you know, we'll be having our Bourbon Trail event in February up at the Seal Box. So that's going to be really
I don't know
great.
If I can handle that or not.
They sell you the rooms half price.
Yeah,
you can stay overnight. That's a really great event. That's a lot of fun.
I've got too many mouths to feed at home.
Yeah.
We've got 5 horses and, well, not 4 right now, but I'll have 6, but hopefully they'll be gone by then. And 4 cats and a dog, so I can't go.
You can't go far.
I can't go far either,
but I've got a friend of mine named John Bradley who's been helping me a lot. He's a Lexington policeman.
Uh-huh.
We're going to go together to the track today to Churchill Downs. But anyway, he's been helping a lot, and he's really smart. He's relieved me of a lot of stuff, so he can do a lot of stuff and help out. So that's what it takes. I mean, we have a great team. Wolf Friends, we have just a great team of people that are all helping out.
Yeah, mostly volunteers, aren't
you? Yeah. Oh, this is kind of cool. The Daily Racing Form is going to sponsor me to go to the Arizona Symposium at the University of Arizona, the racetrack symposium that they have every December. So they're sponsoring me to go and talk.
Well, that's neat.
Yeah.
In December.
Yes.
Yeah.
In Arizona at a resort.
Oh.
And I don't have to pay.
What part of Arizona are you going to?
Tucson.
Right.
Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a daughter in Phoenix.
Well, it's not far, just down the road.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Diane and I actually went on our honeymoon. We went to Arizona.
I thought you went to Las Vegas.
We did. It's right next door.
Well, I know.
We made a trip. We didn't just stay in one place.
Okay.
We went to the Grand Canyon. We went to Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And we went to the, what was it called? The White Stallion Ranch, Dude Ranch.
In Arizona?
Yes. Okay. Right outside Tucson.
Oh, okay.
With the White Stallion Dude Ranch.
Yes, okay. For a bunch of dudes like us. I remember a couple things about it. The guy that ran it told really boring stories, and there were three stewardesses from British Airways that looked fabulous riding horses.
Is that right? run up on another break here.
All right, well, listen, I'm going to run.
All right.
But I really appreciate it. It's great to talk to you. It's a beautiful day. If anybody would like to come out on tours at Old Friends, we moved, we're into our winter schedule now. So we're doing tours every day at 11 o'clock. So come out and see us and have some fun. You get to
Pete
Carrot City's great champions.
Gorgeous day to be there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I should say one more thing. Dee Poulos, whose husband Ernie trained Black Tie at Bear, who we were fortunate enough to have as a resident at Old Friends for several years, he won the Breeders' Cup Classic. And every year at Breeders' Cup Day on Saturday in the morning, a big display of flowers arise.
Is that right?
All in the Breeders' Cup colors for Black Tie Bear's grave. So I want to thank Dee Poulos for remembering him every Breeders' Cup. It was really fabulous.
Well, that's wonderful.
Yep.
Yeah, that was quite a horse.
Yeah, he was unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm glad I got to see him, before.
Yeah,
I had advised some people when he was just turned three to buy that horse. He could have bought him.
Yes.
And they didn't like his pedigree. So I said, look, this is a horse with a lot of potential, I said, forget about the pedigree.
There's a lot of people that didn't like Groupie Doll's pedigree either, but it looks pretty good now.
Oh, I know. Yeah. What'd she bring now? What was that?
3.2, I think.
Yeah, 3.2.
Yeah.
You see, well, Misdirection brought 2.7.
Yep.
Well, she brought
Awesome Maria brought 4 million.
Yeah.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about Breeders' Cup year.
Yes.
That race that Ms. Direction ran, identical to last year's race. I mean, she wasn't going to win it at the 16th pole.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the track was favoring speed and everything, and there you go. She's unbelievable.
Down the outside.
Yeah.
You know, she's run 8 times on the grass, and she lost one race at Santa Anita. It was a first start as a 2-year-old, and she ran second. But she's run 8 times on the grass down there and has yet to taste the
coming down the hill. She loves coming down that hill.
Yeah. I love that stud horse.
I do, too.
I mean, that's the horse that puts you in the winner's circle. Yeah. Now, Mizzen Mass.
I think so, right. Yep.
Yeah. He's been a good one. Very underrated.
Yeah, very.
I wonder if they... He was 12.5 when she was a foal, I mean, that's what they paid. And they went to 15 after he signed 2 Breeders' Cup winners last year. And I don't know what they're going to do this year. They'll probably keep him the same.
Maybe.
15th out. But he's been a real solid kind of horse.
Very solid, yep.
I see him winning everywhere.
And it's nice to see them. It's nice to see, a lot of these horses, like Groupie Doll, having one more race. And a lot of them, bringing back, Charlie talking about bringing Wise Dan back next year. And, it's just so cool.
Yeah. He's a lock-on horse of the year again, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The only one that had a shot to would be Game On Dude. And he didn't get it done.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm really glad.
Dana Springs got it done though.
Yep. Yeah, it was really nice.
Yeah.
Really nice.
With Mucho Macho.
In spite of all we said about the coverage and everything else, when it came down to the racing was really
superb. Yeah. And yeah. Mucho, that was a great win, that Mucho Macho.
Kathy Ridbo.
Yeah.
When I was at barn 7 at Suffolk Downs with my $3,500 claimer, she was in barn 9 with her $3,500 claimer. So she's in the winner's circle winning the Breeders' Cup Classic with Mucho Macho Man. It couldn't happen to anybody nicer.
Well, that's a great story. Isn't it? Yeah, it really is. And that's, he ran a heck of a race. That's one game horse.
Absolutely.
Always has been.
Yep.
Yeah. I remember
Lane and Nickers.
They asked me, I don't know if they'll do it this year or not, but every year they've the Rotary Club down in Paris has asked me to come down and talk about the Derby horses. I when he was in the Derby, I says, put him in your exotics because this horse never quits. So they'll just have to outrun him, you know.
Yes.
He ran third.
Yeah, he ran good.
Yeah, he ran real good.
I'm going to talk to the Rotary Club this week in Paris.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Nice people.
Very nice.
What are they having?
Eric Hamelbeck. Stonerside Golf Club.
Okay.
I think that's where it is.
Yeah, I used to play golf down there.
You did?
Yeah, I put many ball in that creek.
We'll go searching for them.
Yeah. All right.
All right, Ursel. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Hey, okay. We'll talk to you later, Michael. Well, in performance reminiscent of a victory in last year's Grade 1 $1 million Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, Ms. Direction successfully defended her title with a brilliant late charge to take home first money of $550,000 in the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint. She was, again, the only distaffer in the field of 13. The daughter, Ms. Mass, has now earned $1,719,621. And Monday at Fasey Tipton, Kentucky, was sold for $2,700,000. She's won 11 of 17 starts, 9 stakes. She's unbeaten in 8 starts on Santa Anita's grass. Ms. Direction is one of 5 Grade 1 stakes winners by Ms. Mass, among them Flotilla, winner this year of the Classic French 1,000 Guineas and of last year's Grade 1 $1 million Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf. Also turning in a solid performance at the Breeders' Cup this year was Close Hatchets, the 3-year-old filly from the first crop by First Defense. Close Hatchets finished second to champion Beholder in the Grade 1 $2 million Breeders' Cup Distaff. Behind her were Authenticity, Royal Delta, Street Girl, Renee's Got Up, and Princess of Silmar. Close Hatches has won the classic Grade 1 Mother Goose, the Grade 1 Cotillion, and the Grade 2 Gazelle. She's earned $1,367,300. Mizzen Mass and First Defense stand at Judmont Farm. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
Well, last Sunday at Aqueduct, the Grade 2 $250,000 Nazareth Stakes was won by K.O. Prince, 2-year-old colt in the first crop by Pioneer of the Nile. Bred by Dick and Kathy Elam of Versailles, trained by Kieran McLaughlin, and sold as a yearling at Keenan for $250,000. K.O. Prince is 2-for-2. Won a maiden special first time out in October at Belmont, and then he won the Nazareth by 2.5 lengths. He's one of 11 first crop winners by Pioneer of the Nile, who's moved to number 2 on the freshman style list. Among his other winners is the promising River Dancer, won a first time out of a maiden special at Saratoga, then second in the Grade 2 With Anticipation Stakes at Saratoga, and his 2 career starts. The fact that Pioneer of the Nile is running at 2 is not unexpected, as Pioneer of the Nile himself won Grade 1 stakes as a juvenile. It also bodes well for the future, as he went on to win 3 more graded stakes around 2 turns, including the Grade 1 Santa Anita Derby. He also ran second in the Kentucky Derby, and he's the son of the classic winner Empire Maker, who ranked second on last year's general sire list. Pioneer of the Nile stands at Windstar Farm. Inquiries to Darren Fox, Leanna Packard, or Chance Tim. See the website, website at windstarfarm.com. right, Jackie. The dust has settled a little bit as far as the clocking goes, I think. And
seems like it.
How many do you have over there now?
I don't know. I wasn't counting.
They're still at it.
Almost 60.
About 60? No, well, that's not too bad.
It wasn't bad. They came in two at a time rather than clusters.
Yeah. Okay. Now, remember that day we had 117?
I know. By ourselves, two of us.
Just the two of us.
Clocking fools. Woohoo!
Well, I'll go along with half of it.
Those things were.
We've got a parking gravel parking lot out here, that day, you know, you can hear cars turn in, you know, and then they gravel. We were sat there doing this, you know. Jackie says, "If I hear that damn gravel one more time, I'm going to leave." You remember that?
Yes.
Then a little while later, she says, "This is crazy."
At least it was warm and we were outside, could keep a little better track.
Yeah.
It was good. I don't think we missed any. I was real pleased.
I don't think we did either. No. But it was.
Jim Pendergrass came down and was standing behind, and he finally left shaking his head.
Yeah, he says, This is crazy.
Crazy, yeah.
And he's the one that told me when they hired me to clock, you'll have about 40 a week.
Yeah, exactly. It was 40 a morning.
But yeah, right.
That was
fun, though.
Yeah, and that was 40 before the break.
I have to retire because my hearing started to go, and I always had trouble with the Hispanics understanding them.
And the Irish.
Then when I started having trouble with the Irish, I knew it was time to hang it up.
Right.
All right, Jackie.
Okay. At the horse park, Susie has asked me to say they are having this affair called Spirit of the Horse, a holiday equine extravaganza, November 29th and 30th. That is right after Thanksgiving. That's Thanksgiving weekend. 7 o'clock at the Alltech Arena. What this is it's costume stuff. It's a magical story on horseback that the whole family will enjoy. Now, that's something you can take the kids to. That's pretty nice. World-class riders and horses brought together in entertaining fashion. Live production unfolds. So it's a story, delightful story. Orphans and villains and reining and dressage and liberty work for an hour. So that's pretty neat. So order tickets today, kybdressage.com. If you don't remember that, just call the horse park and they will tell you what to do.
I've got an important announcement. Next week we're on again. The Vanderbilt game is
early.
12:15 game or something like that. So we'll be on again from 9 till 11.
Okay.
Next week. Let me write something down there where I'll remember to announce that again a couple of times, because last week we didn't.
Not till the very end of the show.
So. I know it. You know.
Okay.
Forget my rear end for what I'm passing going.
All righty. Deer season at Shaker Village. The Quail Hollow Trail will be closed from today through Wednesday. That's the 9th through the 13th. Towering Sycamore Trail is open today again at noon. Wonder why they picked that. Since it's deer season, I guess they don't want people too close to the periphery, you know.
Okay.
Fort Larned and Point of Entry are now available for your inspection at Edina Springs, and this is the last day for the open house. It's 9 to 3 today. If you haven't been there, go see it. That farm is drop-dead gorgeous, and you know they're so good about great community neighbors. They redid the Bourbon County High School football field. And I mean, it looks like a pro field in miniature. That's how fancy. You know, I mean, they did the kernels on the end and all that kind of stuff. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Way more than a school could afford.
Mm-hmm.
So there you are. Now, this is, let me see what time sensitive. Okay, Horse Park Foundation is participating in the 2013 Good Giving Guide Challenge. Your gift of $25 or more will be matched dollar for dollar up to $5,000. So, if you can do that, go to goodgivingguide.net to qualify. And they might win $7,500 endowment. That's good because they don't have all the money in the world to spend. It looks great out there, but the money is not, you know, free flowing. So if you can't remember that, it's the Kentucky Horse Park Foundation. Give them a call. They'll give you the whereabouts and what to do. Now, let me page through here. See? 3, 6, 9, 9 and 9 is 18, 19, 22. You know what? When you have a board of directors, you should not have 21 people. You should have 4. I was just going through here looking at the list.
You know Wayne Mackey?
Yes. Hello, Wayne.
Wayne has started 2 Kentucky Oaks winners out here.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah. He's over there grinning like a possum passing peach seed.
There you go. Today would be November 9th at Dressage, U.S. Dressage Finals today and tomorrow at the Horse Park. Next week is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, Holiday Market. I'm pretty sure that this is Christmas decorations that are for sale and stuff. Although, to tell you the truth, I'm going to complain. There's not much information on their Horse Park webpage on the calendar. You click on that day, and it just tells you starting and ending time. So I'm going to send out a little help out there, please. Pop it up a little on that webpage. So
yeah,
I have time to call out there every weekend. I'm doing this stuff trying to help out.
Yeah. Come on, John. Get on it.
Yeah. Okay. In the spirit of the horse that we just talked about. Now, here's another sort of complaint. We love Southern Lights, and there's nothing on the website about when it begins. Now, last year, they had a 5K before Thanksgiving or Thanksgiving Day. I can't remember. And a big petting thing and all this that kind of stuff out there, and then it officially opened. I have no idea. There you are.
Can I interrupt your second?
You did.
Well, there's another run about the hare on the horizon. Last Sunday at Aqueduct, Mamduha, a 2-year-old filly by the hare, broke her maiden in impressive fashion, overcoming a hard bump at the break. Mamduha won a $70,000 maiden special by 4 lengths going away. She's owned by Shadwell Farm, trained by Kieran McLaughlin. To date, including current 2-year-olds, De Harris had 14 winners and 19 starters. Among them, multiple graded stakes winner in grade 1 place Gypsy Robin. She's earned $598,900. Acia, second to Princess Silmar in the Busanda Stakes at Aqueduct. Stakes place Castella. Grade 1 stakes winner De Harris, the son of the elite sire Awesome Again, the only winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic, the sire winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic. The co-leader among active sires of Breeders' Cup races, and currently ranked 7th on the North American sire list among all active sires. De Hare is siring runners at Shadwell Farm. For more about the Shadwell stands, get in touch with stallion manager Ken Barnes, nice guy, 859-224-4585, and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. Quillen Leather and Tack bumped into Ralph Quillen at the post office down at Paris just the other day. If you hang around that post office very long, you're going to see half of Paris that you know anyway.
Yep.
Everybody comes in there. I see Bob Copeland, Pat Copeland all the time.
That's maybe they'll see my something that doesn't arrive. I'm waiting once again for a package that doesn't arrive.
Yeah, well, they don't do a really good job down there, I tell you.
They lose track of the
As far as the mail goes, yeah. I, you know, that's the truth. We had one package that was arrived there. We tracked it down and it arrived at the post office on the 25th of October, and we got it on like the 6th of November. And it had been sitting down at the post office for about 10 days. Anyway, and then there's our son in
Brussels.
In Brussels has sent a birthday present to
November 1st birthday.
Yeah.
And said it got there for her birthday. Next year, maybe.
It's not there yet. Anyway, but Ralph's it's got the Quillen Leather intact, and it's, of course, the nation's premier custom halter shop. And it's, without doubt, the best custom halter shop in the country. And
best halter shop, period.
Oh, yeah, period.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. You get all these catalogs, Dover and all these people, and you look at those cheesy, thin things. Oh, they are nothing like the quality at Quillen.
That's everything in there is quality. And
even Ralph.
I talked to Ralph about he's opened up a brewery down there, and he's fighting regulations right now, but I think he's about ready to go.
Yeah.
So
a saloon and a brewery.
Yeah.
Life
anyway,
is
the
good.
Tax shop is great, and if you they've got a great gift shop in there too. And
yeah, Christmas coming.
Yeah, Chris, and if you we got a you get a free key tag with every halter plate that you alter halter plate belt. That
yeah,
you order.
And the key tags get your name on the brass plate, too.
Yeah, so that's with every halter plate belt that you buy, you get a free key tag, and that goes on through Sunday. So you can order them online. That's quillin.com.
Yeah, if you can't get there today and
you
they're closed tomorrow.
You,
yeah, well, not only that, you go quillin.com and order it online.
Yeah, exactly.
And still get the deal.
Yeah. See if I got their number down there. Quillin.com. No, it's a fax number. 800 number, I'll give you that. 800-729-0592.
There's the number. It's on the back of the brochure.
On the back? Oh, thank you, Ressie. Here, it's the Paris number.
Which means 987.
Yeah, 987-0730. Can't go wrong there. Quillin Leather and Tack. Can't go wrong with anything you get out of there, I'll tell you that. Daily Racing Form, the Sunday Breeding Edition is out. It's on the newsstands as we speak. John Sparkman and Mary Simon got an article in there, and Mary's a terrific writer, so is John. Anyway, they're writing about the pedigree history of Mucho Macho Man. Of course, Breeders' Cup Classic winner. I got to read that. It's going to be very interesting. There's the history of Breeders' Cup winners at Sales. Auction history of those by Joe Nevels. Nicole Russo is talking about the mares in Folda Frankel. They're in sale out at Keeneland in November. And Fasig Tipton. There's Adina Springs. There's articles in there about the Sunday edition about the new stud fees on Adina Springs. An Oxbow going to Claiborne, Fast Bullet going over to Paul's Mill. That's Ben Walden's place. Alternation, Pin Oak Stud. Juvenile Sire List is in there. And, of course, the comprehensive stakes results of Breeders' Cup winners and other graded stakes winners from over the weekend. That's a Daily Racing Form Sunday edition. And you got to get it. It's really worthwhile. Oh. All right, Jackie, have at it.
Okay, Kentucky Horse Park was named TripAdvisor Traveler's Choice winner named in the top 25 U.S. amusement parks and water parks category for 2013. That's good. Also, if you buy a ticket to get in the horse park, you get 2 days. You get the next day, too. Trail Summit registration's open. It's an event hosted by the Kentucky Horse Council and Kentucky Equine Education Project. That's, of course, KEEP. Bringing Kentucky trail riders for horse trail education, networking, and fun. It's this month. It's November 15th and 16th at Natural Bridge State Park. And go to www.kentuckytrailsummit.com. And it's just like $30. So that's a nice thing to do. It's a nice time to ride down to Natural Bridge. It'd be pretty
yeah.
for the next month. Okay, the Keeneland Sporting Art Auction is coming up Wednesday, November 20th. It's at Keeneland. It's in the... I can't hear anymore.
Go ahead.
Okay, it's in the Keeneland... I can't even think. Kentucky, the Sporting Art Auction. It's in the Sales Pavilion, November 20th. You can go in and see it through November 19th, Monday through Saturday, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Don't forget my computer guy, Fixer Uppers, Lexington Computer Clinic. They're at Myers in Hamburg. Their number is 263-7374. I had gotten a bunch of junk on my computers, and I said, I didn't put them on there. And they said, well, you have to hit a key somewhere to get them. But anyway, they fixed it. The whole thing, they're great. You go in and talk to them, and you can drop it off. You can wait, whatever. And this is the place that gives you a half-hour computer for dummies lesson for $20. You stand right there with your laptop or whatever, and then you find out how to work. It's great. Their number is 263-7374. Also, I want to mention Sally Van. They fix your diesels, and they fix up your trailers. They are the people that know how to handle that stuff and what to do. So the guy who does it, I have his card, Ben Eversole's his name, and he worked on, did he do the truck too? Truck and the trailer? Grease everything?
No, he did the trailer.
Trailer, yeah.
Mr. Pennington
does our truck.
Pennington
right.
does our truck.
But anyway, this guy's really good. They fix it up. You're either going to store it this winter, or if you're hunting foxes, you're going to be using it this winter, and it's a good time to get the whatever they grease stuff.
Saw a fox this morning, didn't we?
Yes, we saw a gray fox this morning. Come on. That over on what farm was that? Was that Haggard's?
Just this side of Haggard's. It's a new place, new name on there. I was looking at it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not as common around here anyway as the Reds. So we enjoyed that.
Well, in the Mischief beside a home run horse in his first crop. Last week at Santa Anita, his Golden Sense won the grade $1 million Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. Breaking from the outside in a field of 11 Golden Cents, went right to the front and never looked back. Won by 2 3/4 lengths. Winner of 4 other graded stakes, including the Grade 1 Santa Anita Derby, Golden Cents has earned $1,990,000. Yeah, man, that's almost too much. Somebody lend him $10,000, he'll have $2 million. He's one of 5 stakes winners from Intermister's first crop. A list that includes Vijack, winner of the Grade 2 Jerome, the Grade 3 Gotham, Aqueduct's Traskwood Stakes, placed in the Grade 1 Wood. He's earned $552,200. Smile, sitting at the bar, winner of 7 stakes, graded place. She's earned over $578,000. He's also the sire of Candyman, a 2-year-old colt that's won the $100,000 Speakeasy Stakes out at Santa Anita, placed in the Grade 1 Del Mar Futurity. Grade 1 winner himself in the Mischief is the son of the late Hollins Holiday, who currently ranks 7th on the North American sire list. Big loss there. In the Mischief was an original member of Spendthrift's Share the Upside program. So for more information about the Spendthrift Stallions and for a personal inspection of the Stallions, get in touch with Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, or Mark Toothacker at 859-294-0030 and see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. Jackie, did you take your Lubricin this morning?
Of course. I'm here.
Right.
I mean,
she greases her joints every morning with Lubricin.
Every morning. It's great.
Yeah, I've got it for people.
Is that an outside hospital?
No, no. No, you ingest it. Yeah. Anyway, it's used by some pretty high fluting
besides
people.
Besides me? Wow.
Besides Jackie. Todd Pletcher and Tony Dutrow and Jerry Hollendorfer and Mike Maker use it. They use Lubricin. And what it does, it sustains the integrity of the joint fluid, and it keeps you moving. And Jackie, yeah, you can tell you. I'll tell you where you can buy it.
Where?
You can go over to KBC in Lexington.
Okay.
Our Horse Sense down there for sales. Our old friend sells it.
Huh.
Yeah, that's a Lubricin, great product. Also, they sell Reborn, and Reborn is it's a whole bovine colostrum, and it's I tell you, Wise Dan runs on that. That's enough recommendation right there. I ought to just stop because he's going to be a horse of the year again. There's no two ways about that. But Wise Dan runs on it. It's a whole concentrated bovine colostrum. It provides support. Builds up your immune system in your horses, and I don't think they may give it for people, but the horses sure do well on it. And you can find out, they get it, you can buy that also at KBC and Horse Sense. And if you want to know more about them, go to lubricin.com, lubricin.com, reborn.com, reborne.com. Now, they were both developed by Dr. Steve Alday, one of the country's top vets, and there are two products that I happen to believe in, and I know Jackie believes in them more than I do, so give them a try. You got nothing to lose, and a lot of people who are very successful in the business are doing just that with them. Okay, well, let's see where we are right now. I want to talk about Rosalyn, a two-year-old filly, a broken vow, ran a bang-up second in the Grade 1 $2 million Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly Saturday. After an awkward start, she was 10th of 10 after the first half mile, 17 lengths out of it. She finished fastest of all, if you watch the race. To run third, she got beat a nose and a half length for all her money. Show money boosted earnings to over $314,000. So Rosalind is a filly with a big future. She won't be the first filly that ran real big by Broken Vow. Among his more than 100 stakes horses, you'll find such fillies as Unbridled Bell, a Grade 1 stakes winner of nearly $2 million, Grade 1 winner and $824,000 winner Sassy Image, Cotton Blossom, she won the Classic Acorn Stakes and earned some $724,000. The sire of 16 stakes horses, 9 stakes winners this year, Broken Vow stands at Pin Oak Stud. Also there is the new stallion Alternation, multiple graded stakes winner. Cowboy Cal, of course, a multiple graded stakes winner, and Sky Classic, who's sired right at 100 stakes, over 100 stakes horses, including 59 stakes winners. They all stand at Pin Oak. And inquiries at Clifford Berry or Nancy Stevens. See the website at pinoakstud.com. Alrighty, let me get this in before I forget, which I'm not going to forget, but get it in anyway. Winners from the Thoroughbred Center this month. Well, since last week's show, we've had 8. We've had 10 this month, starting on the 1st. That's 10 winners in 8 days. That's not too bad. I'll just give them all to you from the 1st. Sherman Mitchell won at Mountaineer. Floyd Cobb won one down at Mountaineer also. On the same night, that was on the 1st. On the 2nd, Paul Garcia won one up at Beulah Park. Lahore Wax won with Charmin She Is up at Churchill Downs. That's a really nice filly, that great filly of Charming She Is. We won a nice bet on, I don't know if you remember or not, won a nice bet on her out of Keenan, Jackie.
Really?
Yeah, we were out there.
I don't ever remember winning a nice bet on anybody.
Well, I remember because there's so damn few of them,
right.
I'll tell you that.
Right.
Anyway, she came from out of it like she always does and won a nice starter allowance, I believe it was. Tim Hsu, who is over here at with Art Preston right next door to the training center here. They've got the old training center next door. That's a great facility, too. Of course, they train right here on these tracks. And of course, they got their own grass gallops, though. But it's where Tim's a nice guy. Does a real good job for Art. Last night, we had 3 winners up at Mountaineer. Is that up? Over? At Mountaineer. Whatever.
I don't know. It's up or down. It's in the mountains. It's either up the holler or down the creek.
Up the creek.
Up the creek. Up the creek without a holler.
Luis Jurado, who was up here just a few minutes ago, I was trying to wave at him to congratulate him, but you were talking at the time and I couldn't do it. I did wave, but he didn't see me. But anyway, good luck, Luis. Well, you know, you were giving your announcements.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And anyway, Luis won one last night. What race did he win? He won the 6th. The 8th race, Eduardo Caldamore won with Romance Argentino. Which is kind of funny because he's from Brazil, not Argentino. Well, it's Argentino. Anyway, not Argentina.
That's funny.
But it says Romance Argentino. They train out here, of course. And then Brian Michael won with Any Given Chance. He won the 9th race. It's the 6th, 8th, and the 9th race. The 9th race, I believe, was the feature. that Brian
so they're
won with. Brian's a really nice guy that trains out here at the. Well, both all three of those guys are nice guys. Most of the not, there's a couple of jerks out here, but we won't mention them. We won't mention their name.
Right.
But just about everybody out here is really nice.
Oh yeah, loved it when we trained out here. It was fun.
Well, it was kind of
and funny.
It you know I miss it. Miss the clocking because it's kind of a family atmosphere out here. You know, it's people kind of pull for each other and a bunch of nice people. And
well, they're here all the time. Racetracks, they come, they go.
All righty. Well, Macho Uno is this our Mucho Macho Man. Winner of the Grade 1 $5 million Breeders' Cup Classic over a Stellar International Field. One of three 2013 Grade 1 stakes winners by Macho Uno. Mucho Macho Man has accumulated earnings of $5,340,000. He was a close second in last year's Breeders' Cup Classic. Among active sires at stud in North America, Macho Uno ranks eighth with the earnings of $7,611,975, just one notch below his stablemate at Adena Springs. Awesome Again, and he has gained the elite status already achieved by Awesome Again and his Hall of Fame son, Go Sapper. Go Sapper, ranked 12th on the sire list, was also well represented at the Breeders' Cup. His Zah Approval was second, beaten by less than a length by Wise Dan in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Mile. And Judy the Beauty was a fast closing second, beaten a half length by Groupie Doll in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint. Macho Uno is now sire to win of the Breeders' Cup Classic. Go Zapper won the Breeders' Cup Classic. Awesome Again won the Breeders' Cup Classic and is sire to winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic. For classic performance, look to the Adena Springs Stallions. This is the last day, incidentally, of their open house. And Fort Larned and Point of Entry are there now, the new arrivals. And you're now available for your inspection. So drive on down and take a look at them down at Adena Springs today.
Why don't we go there for lunch?
Yeah. Why don't we go there for lunch?
Yeah.
Okay. Jackie's always looking for free meal.
I don't want to cook.
Okay. Anyway, we'll call the farm. If you want to book a mare or something, 859-987-1798, and see the website at adenastallions.com.
WLXG Lexington, ESPN Sports Radio 1300, Kentucky's number one certified pre-owned dealer.
Toyota Nicholasville, what price sells cars?
Well, Hayesville is a Grade 1 stakes winner of over $1,319,000 by champion sprinter and leading sire Sprightstown. First foals of weanlings. Majestic Prince is a Grade 1 stakes winner by Harlan's Holiday with brilliant speed. Steve Asmussen described him as the fastest horse he'd ever seen. Divine Park is a Grade 1 winner and with two graded runners, one of them a Grade 1 in his first crop. Girolamo is a young Grade 1 winner by AP Indy. Now, tomorrow at Keenan, you can find weanlings by Haynesfield, Majestic Perfection, Divine Park, and Girolamo. Plus mares and foal to Haynesfield, Majestic Perfection, and Divine Park. In the consignment of Bird and C. Jones, Erdrich Stud, Agent. Just go to Barn 25. To see the Tuesday consignment, go to Barn 42. And the Thursday's consignments in Barn 25. You'll find more wheelings and mares and foal to the Erdrich Stud Stallions. And if you've proven in the past that the Erdrich Stallions are your key to racing profit. For more about Mr. and Mrs. Bird and C. Jones Airdrie Stud, go to the website at airdriestud.com. Did you call Moody yet, my friend? I'd like to get Steve Moody on. Can we got a? We've got a. What's the stakes race up there today? I forget now. Oh, it's the Cardinal Handicap. So I'd like to get Steve
must
on.
Be a good betting race, Coach.
Steve probably wait because he's getting ready for football game.
Must be a good betting race because Michael was going.
Oh. Well, you know, Michael, he never misses a chance to go to races, which is fine. It's a mile and a half on the turf.
Ooh, I love it.
For fillies and mares, 3-year-olds and up.
Mile and a half on the
great,
turf.
Great three race.
That's great.
Yeah, so it should be really good. Here's another announcement. The Turfway condition books are out. And you can pick them up at the clocker stand. Susie's got a whole stack of them.
Susie's got boxes of them. What's left over, she's going to have toilet. She's going to wallpaper her toilet with condition book pages. Her toilet? Yeah, her bathroom. I had a friend one time who actually wallpapered her bathroom in losing tickets. She went around Keeneland and picked them up in the old days when they were different colors. She wallpapered her bathroom.
Is that right?
Yes, it was cute.
Oh, for God's sakes. That's a little too much, I would think. What are you doing, Jackie?
I'm watching you.
Oh, okay. I'm going to talk about... Oh, here. I'll tell you what I'll do while we're doing this. I'll take care of our good friends over at the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association. That's David Schweitzer. And the Kentucky Bred Stakes winners from last year. Last week. Of course, the Breeders' Cup Distaff winner, grade one at Santa Anita, went to Beholder, who was going to be the champion three-year-old filly of the year. And our good friends Fred and Nancy Mitchell over at Clarkland Farm, right over here on Bryan Station Road, bred Beholder. Congratulations to them. Let's see. The Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Grade 1 went to Rhea Antonio, bred by Lynn B. Schiff. Now, she got that through the disqualification of She's a Tiger. It's a tail of the cat filly. She drifted out a little bit. If it'd been a half a length or something like that, but she just won by nose. If it'd been a little bit more, I think they would have left her up. She's a tiger, and the winner, Rhea Antonio, is bred by Lynn Schiff. The Breeders' Cup Mile, grade one, went to Wise Dan, of course. And Wise Dan, last year's horse of the year, and probably this year's horse of the year. And he is bred by Mort Fink, raised over at Patch and Wilkes Farm. Beat Zai Approval by 3/4 of the length. That horse had run a nice race. That's a ghost zapper, that Zai Approval. The Breeders' Cup Juvenile, grade one winner, New Year's Day, bred by Clear Sky Farms. Beat Havana by a length and a quarter. And he was bred by Clear Sky Farms. The Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint went to Groupie Doll. She won by half length over Judy the Beauty, another ghost zapper. Groupie Doll was bred by Fred and William Bradley, and she brought a whole bunch of money out there. I forget, 3.7 or something like that. The Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, grade one, went to Ms. Direction. That's a 5-year-old mare by Mizzen Mass, who stands over at Judmont Farm, bred by Joseph Parada. And she sold out at Keeneland for $2.7 million just the other day. I'd love to have her. I wouldn't be afraid to be an underbidder. They even there. And the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, grade one winner, was Golden Sense from the First Crop of Into Mischief, who stands over here at Spendthrift Farm. He had wired the field, broken front, and just stayed there, won by 2 3/4 lengths. He was bred by Rosecast Farm and Karen Perello. Congratulations to them. Congratulations to the folks over at Spendthrift. Secret Circle won the Express Bet Breeders' Cup Sprint, grade one, and he is by Eddington and was bred by the Wilmot Stables. I believe we had a horse that Dr. Wilmot, one we called, what did we call him? The horse that came with two bows? We called him...
Oh, the big flashy,
big, good-looking
Marquetry.
Yeah.
He was by Marquetry. I think they called him Market Lee or something.
Yeah, what did we call him?
Oh, we called him Fiddle because he came with a bow.
Yeah, he came with two bows.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I got a good home for him anyway.
Oh, he's staying down there.
He
belongs to a guy in Tennessee who hunts a little here, hunts a little there, and the horse has turned out with a friend. He's fine.
Yeah, okay. If that's the same Wilmot. The grade two Chalukie Stakes after Churchill Downs winner was bred by the Stonerside Stables. The grade two Twilight Derby out at Santa Anita, Rookie Sensation won that. It was bred by Adina Springs, and he came from way out of it to win it too. Win by a length going away. The Grade 3 Nashua Stakes, it's a Grade 2. That Aqueduct winner was won by Cairo Prince. That's a 2-year-old from the first crop, colt from the first crop of Pioneer that now stands over at Windstar. And this one bred by Dick and Kathy Elam, some friend of ours down at in Versailles. Trained a horse for Dick Elam one time. Filly named Going Classy. I ran her three times, and she was a third, and I was getting ready to put her in a distance race, and he gave her to somebody else, and she won her next start, going long. I never have forgiven you for that, Dick, if you're listening. The Grade 3 Discovery Handicap, I went to Romanish, trained by Dolly and Lynn B. Schiff, the Senator Ken Mattity Stakes at Santa Anita winner. Ponson Train, that's another Warfront, one of 18 stakes winners from this year by Warfront. Stands over Claiborne, of course. Ponson Train bred by Lavin Bloodstock and Canoa Stables. The Grade 3 Tempted Stakes went to Stop Charging Maria. That's Taylor the Cat filly, bred by Harvey Clark and Brookdale Farm. Taylor the Cat at Ashland Stud. Capano Handicap at Calder went to Angelica Zapata, bred by Buck Pond Farm and Herman Vandenbroek. Trained by a friend of mine, Ron Pellegrini. Used to train here.
I can't hear you.
The Bet on Sunshine Stakes went to Good Morning Diva, trained by Iadora Farm. Don't know that farm, but anyway. The Juvenile Turf Sprint Stakes went to, at Santa Anita, went to Richie's Party Girl, bred by Windstar Farm, another one for them. Here's a goodie. The Pine Mountain Callaway Stakes. Where in the hell they run that? The AFLAC Supreme Hurdle Stakes winner. Where's the Beef won that? 5-year-old gilling bred by Broodmare's Anonymous Partners. Wired to Field. The Mountaineer Mile Stakes went to Voodoo Storm. That's a Storm Cat, one of the last, I guess. 5-year-old horse bred by Green Hills Farm. And Puerto Rico, the Grade 2 Classical Angel T. Cordero Jr. Handicap was won by Tonito M, bred by Hilbert Thoroughbreds and Menard Thoroughbreds. Wednesday, the Trevita Stakes at Aqueduct winner. See if I can read this thing. Dean Allen's Kitten, bred by Six Winters Farm. That's another kitten's joy. This one, well, this one owned by the Ramseys. How about that? The five-star mama won the Chip Stakes Wednesday at Aqueduct. She was bred by Tom Van Meter. And that's it. How about that? But that's a bunch of winners from here, isn't it? All right. Well, Arch is the sire of Blame. Winner of the Grade 1 $5 million Breeders' Cup Classic. He's the sire of London Bridge. Winner of the Grade 2 Breeders' Cup Marathon. He's the Broodmare sire of Kentucky Derby. Winner, I'll Have Another. Broodmare sire of Uncle Mo. Winner of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Arch represents a sire line noted for stamina. Stands at Claiborne Farm for $40,000, doing a full stands of nurses. Last Saturday at Santa Anita, the Grade 3 Senator Ken Mattity Stakes was won by Ponson Train, a 3-year-old filly by Warfront. And Declaration of War, a 4-year-old colt by Warfront, was a dead game third, beating a nose in the head. In the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic, he was in the middle of that trio. Ponson Train and Group 1 winner Declaration of War are among the 18 2013 stakes winners by Warfront. Warfront currently ranks fourth on the general sire list. He's the youngest sire among the top 20. Son of the great Danzig, Warfront stands for $150,000 to win a full stands of nurses at Claiborne Farm. For more information, call Bernie Sams. Here's the number, 859-233-4252. See the website, claibornefarm.com. All righty. Good friend of mine, Hill Parker, and his lovely wife, Reagan, are in the real estate business. They've got a great website. And they've been in the business for about a dozen years now. Great people to do business with. If you're thinking about listing your farm, I would certainly go with them. They're people you can trust. They're nice people. Work real hard for you. You get a team there, too, as far as that goes, with Hill and Reagan. And The Hill, of course, is trains. I saw him out here just the other day yesterday, I believe I saw him. Yeah, with something he's training out here right now. Oh, and he had a horse named Rudyard K.
Yes.
By Kipling.
Yes.
That he won some races with.
In Virginia.
He won around here with
him.
Oh,
that's right.
Yeah, won here. But he made a steeplechaser out of him, and he won a really nice race.
Yeah, big deal race.
No, it wasn't a big deal, but it could have been. Why don't you quit interrupting with bad information over there?
Could have been.
Well, he put him in for a $15,000 Kramer in there, and he won by 15 lengths, and he ran the stakes that same day, and his time was 3 seconds faster than the stakes race. So Hill was fussing a little bit about that, but anyway, did a good job getting the horse ready. But by golly, you just never know. You win them where you win them. And he did. Well, he's got listings in Bourbon County. Hey, he's got a really nice place listed up on Clay Kaiser. It's far enough away from us, where that's where we live, incidentally, where we won't be exactly neighbors, so you don't have to worry about that. But it's a great play. I mean, it's lovely land, nice home, and you just can't do any better. It's always, it's priced right, and you need to go see it. Give Hill a call. Go to his website. It's LexHorseFarms.com. LexHorseFarms.com. And he's got Bourbon County, Jesmond, Woodford, Scott, Clark. Just a great variety of locations and sizes and prices. And he can find just the perfect farm for you. And so give him a call. Let me give his phone number. It's a Lexington number, 608-8039. And the real horse people, they understand what you need in the horse business and do a great job for you there. Well, Pope McLean, Crestwood Farm Agent, selling weanlings by leading second crop sire Majestic Warrior by the very successful Taylor the Cat, who had just a stakes winner the other day. And by the proven grade one sire, Indigo Shiner. And two well-bred young mares in foal to Drosselmeyer and to Runaway Hind. Today at Keene, you find them in barn 8. Then go to barn 32 to find weanings by the red-hot sire, Into Mischief, by Majestic Light. That's not right. Not Majestic Light. He'd been gone longer than me. Arch, 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 Gio Ponte at... include a Fleet Alex and Bellamy Road, Majestic something or other, and a pair of beautifully bred mares in foal to Hard Spun, and the Factor, a very fast horse by Harlan's Holiday. The Wednesday consignment is in Barn 5 and features weanings by such stallions as Artie Schiller and Point Gibbon, and two are by Tisnow's Brilliant Son, Tis Deja Vu. Also mares in foal to Giacomo and Red His Image, one carrying a foal from the first crop by grade one stakes winner millionaire Get Stormy. And if they came from Crestwood Farm, you know that they've been handled the right way, and that's important. Crestwood Farm is family operated. Not only take care of their clients' horses like their own, they treat their clients like family. It's a full service facility. Just ask them about it and what they have to offer, and check the website at crestwoodfarm.com.
Want unlimited access to competitive PR online?
All righty. Well, I've got Steve Moody with me as we speak, and Steve is the author of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheep. You can buy it out of Keeneland. You can buy it wherever you get a daily racing form, probably down at Churchill Downs, as far as that goes. Or go to the website, which would be brisnet.com, 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 and get your copy of it. And Steve, good morning.
Good morning, Russell.
How are you this morning?
We're doing all right.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. They're running the Cardinal Handicap. That is a mile and a half, isn't it, race?
Mile and an eighth.
Mile and an eighth. Well, hell, I read it wrong. About par for the course. I'm looking for it in a racing form. They split my PPs in here. You know how they do.
Race number 8 today.
Yeah, I know it's race number 8, but I've got to find it in here. Well, any scratches or anything, do you know yet?
No, I checked about 5 minutes ago. Fast and firm and no scratches, at least as of right now.
Fast and firm and no scratches. I don't know why I wrote down a mile and a half on my notes. But obviously I'm wrong, which is about par for the course.
Yeah, I don't think they have a mile and a half turf race in the fall.
I don't think they do either. I should have known that.
Global handicap in the spring is, I think, a mile and either half or a mile and five-eighths or something like that.
Yeah, okay. Well, what does it look like to you?
Well, it's a really tough race, Ursula. A field of 10 fillies and mares. And, you know, I think you can make a pretty serious case for at least half of them, maybe one or two others. I really kind of went round and round on this race. I finally settled on the 8 horse Abaco for Suge McGahee. This horse had been off during the summer, came back back to the races in September, and has been steadily improving each time out. Comes off a couple of ran second in a minor stake at Saratoga, and then second last time out in the Athenia at Belmont, which is a grade 3. And you know, if this horse continues to move forward as she has been, I think she's got a big chance here. She'll be running at the end, and the 9 furlongs should suit her pretty well. I'm going to give her a slight edge in a really, really tough race. The 5 horse, Ms. Ida, is kind of one of the local horses. She's always run well at Churchill. Last 2 starts over the Churchill turf, she's got a win, got a second, and she, of course, goes for the Kleins and Steve Margolis. I think she has a big chance in here. Then, you know, you can look at the favorite, Starstruck, comes in off of a grade 1 race out on the West Coast, the Rodeo Drive for Larry Jones. She's got a certainly she's hooked tougher company coming in here, and I think she has run here before, got a big chance. Solid appeal, the 6. Horse has got tactical speed coming in from Canada for Reed Baker. I think she'll be in the thick of it when they turn for home, and she'll try to run past the leaders late. And then a horse who's a really big price here that I think if you like Abaco like I do, you have to kind of like the 9 horse, My Perfect 10. Now she couldn't handle, she was about 4 lengths behind Abaco in the Athenia, but she does have she does have 2 good races at Churchill, where Abaco is making her first start here. So she does have the advantage that she has a liking for the turf course, and she's a huge price, 20-1. So again, a very tough race. I'm giving a slight edge to Abaco, 5-1 on the morning line for Shug, and so we're going to go 8-5-6, and then I'm definitely going to use My Perfect 10 in there someplace in the tri or superfecta, just trying to bump that up to a real big price.
All right, very good. Did you watch a game, like basketball game, last night?
No, I was I slept through most of it. You know, working at night, and I tried to stay up to watch it, but I just couldn't do it. And I did when they replayed it at midnight, I did see some of it, about 5 minutes or so, but I did record it, so I may watch it later.
Yeah, I couldn't find it. I don't know where was the bro. Ressy said it was on one of the Fox channels.
It was on Fox Sports South.
No, it wasn't. Not on Fox Sports South.
It was on my TV.
We had Fox Sports South, and they had it. Who was it?
The guide said somebody in Syracuse, but it was actually Kentucky. I can tell you.
Well, now that's what threw me off. Well, I'll be diddled. So I didn't listen. I didn't watch it. I didn't watch it. Oh well, story of my life. That's all right. It was on too late anyway. All right. We got a shot today, Steve.
I thought maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, after the way they played in South Carolina, that maybe so. But even though Missouri has lost to South Carolina a couple weeks ago, I don't know. I just think they've got too many weapons. I hope we can come out and have a good game. But of course, we've got a couple guys hurt, and you know, we're got one guy hurt last week celebrating the touchdown catch, which is you almost can't make that one up, but it happened.
What did they do, pile on him?
No, he just did one of those jump up in the air chest bump deals, and when he came down, he sort of came down funny on either a knee or an ankle or something, and so he's going to be out.
Yeah.
And we had another guy that they were throwing the ball back and forth, and he kind of looked away, and the guy threw the ball, and he was looking away, and it tagged him right in the schnoz.
Oh my
so
God!
He's out. So.
Oh, my goodness.
It's been a comedy of errors.
All right. Okay. All right, Steve. Thanks for reporting. And we appreciate you coming on. And this has been Steve Moody with the author of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet. And go to brisnet.com and you can pick up one. Or wherever the celebration form. Of course, they're out at Keeneland. You're going out there. Okay, Steve. Thanks a lot.
Harder.
Well, in a performance reminiscent of a victory in last year's Grade 1 $1 million Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, Ms. Direction successfully defended her title with a brilliant late charge to take home first money of $550,000 in a Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint. She was, again, the only distaffer in the field of 13. Daughter Ms. Mass has now earned $1,719,621. And Monday at Fasig Tipton, Kentucky, they sold her. She brought $2,700,000. She's won 11 of her 17 starts, 9 stakes, unbeaten in 8 starts on Santa Anita's grass. Ms. Direction is one of 5 Grade 1 stakes winners by Ms. Mass. Among them, Flotilla, winner this year of the Classic French 1,000 Guineas, winner last year of the Grade 1 $1 million Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf. Also turning in a solid performance at the Breeders' Cup was Close Hatches, a 3-year-old filly from the first crop by First Defense. Close Hatches finished second to Champion Beholder in a Grade 1 $2 million Breeders' Cup distaff. Behind her were Authenticity, Royal Delta, Street Girl, Renee's Got Zip, and Princess of Silmar. Close Hatches has won the Classic Grade 1 Mother Goose, the Grade 1 Cotillion, the Grade 2 Gazelle, and $1,367,300. Mizzen Mass and First Defense stand at Judmont Farm. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry and see the website at judmont.com. Well, horses raised on products from McCauley Brothers won 6 stakes last weekend, including 3 winners of Grade 1 Breeders' Cup races. Wise Dan won the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Mile and likely his second Eclipse Award as Horse of the Year. He was raised at Patch and Wilkes Farm for Breeder Mort Fink. Ms. Direction won her second consecutive Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, besting males. She was raised at Glencrest Farm for breeder Joseph Parada. The winner of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Stakes New Year's Day was bred and raised at Clear Sky Farm. In addition, the Grade 2 Twilight Derby at Santa Anita went to Rookie Sensation, bred and raised at Adena Springs. The winner of the Juvenile Sprint Stakes also at Santa Anita was Rookie. I left that one out. Anyway, was raised at Windstar Farm. And Good Morning Diva, a winner of the Bet on Sunshine Stakes at Churchill Downs, was bred and raised by Adora Farm. Congratulations to all from McCauley Brothers. For more about the products and the free services that come with every bag of feed you purchase from McCauley's, give Mike Warren or David Longmire a call. 859-873-3333. See the website at McCauleyBros.com. Stop by the office, 111 Broadway in Versailles. McCauley Brothers, where it is all about the horse. Well, Sunday in New York, the grade 3 $250,000 attempted stakes was won by Stop Charging Maria, 2-year-old filly by Taylor the Cat, in 4 starts. She's won a maiden special by 5.5 lengths at Saratoga, ran second in the grade 1 Spinaway, third in the grade 1 Frisette, then won the grade 3 Tempted by over 10 lengths. Bred by Harvey Clark and Brookdale Farm, trained by Todd Pletcher, Stop Charging Maria is a $220,000 graduate of the OBS March sale. She's already earned a tidy $308,000. She's won a 14 2-year-old winners, 2 of them stakes winners by Taylor the Cat. Is She's a Tiger, won the grade 1 Del Mar debutante, the Land of Lucy Stakes at Hollywood, and finished second in the grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. Actually, she finished first, but was disqualified to second after brushing Rhea Antonio in a duel of the wire. She's a Tiger, has earned $725,650. Taylor Cat's the sire of 11 2013 stakes winners and the earners of some $6,750,000 this year. Stands at Coolmore's Ashford Stud. For more information, call the farm at 859-873-7088 and see the website at coolmore.com. All righty. Well, I was brushing through my 1945 edition of the American Racehorses, written by Joe Palmer, incidentally. And he was writing about a mare that I remember quite well, named Gallarette. Best mare, distaffer ever bred in the state of Maryland. I guess the two best colts were males ever bred up there were Cigar and Chaladon. You can flip a coin there on who's the best. But Gallarette, she was some kind of a tough race mare. I mean, she ran against some of the best horses in training and ran against the boys all her life because she had to. Anyway, this was written by Joe Palmer, so it's worthwhile reading. Anything he writes is worthwhile reading. I'm going to read this, and we're going to take a little bit of time to take a look at her race record. So here we go. There are a good many ways of acquiring brood mares, but most of them are expensive. One of the cheaper methods is just to let them follow you around. This was more or less the system which Preston Birch used in obtaining Gallarette, the Dam of Gallarette. Went of a little more than $100,000 under the red and yellow blocks of W.L. Brand. Gallarette was a daughter of Sir Galahad III, and though in her racing years the fame of that stallion as a broodmare sire was not yet what it is now, it was still high enough that Gallarette had reason to be valued for the stud. However, virtually every possible effort was made to throw her away. She was bred by Bel Air Stud, out of the fine race mare and great producer Flambette. The mare had won the Latonia and Coaching Club American Oaks, and she was the Grand Dam of the Triple Crown winner Omaha, as well as the Ascot Gold Cup winner Flares, and the stakes winner Fleam and Anna Flame. Among her own stakes winners were Flambino, Flaming, and Cycle, and one of her daughters, La France, produced the stakes winners Johnstown and Chicola. This is a most productive family, but of course, most of the horses mentioned above was still to come in 1930, when Gallarette was a yearling, and she was weeded out and sent to Saratoga to be sold in the sales there. William DuPont liked her well enough to pay $11,000 for her. This was not tremendously high, as some of the prices went that year, but it was enough to include her among the top 5% of the orphans. She was turned over to Mr. Birch to train, and he remembers her as being big, somewhat crooked, and with ankles inclined to be mushy. As a 2-year-old, not much could be made of her, and because of her size, Mr. Birch suggested laying her up for a season and trying to get her in shape at 3. She was consequently sent back to the farm, fired, and turned out. The next year, she was schooled to jump, and late in the season ran in a hurdle race where she placed. Mrs. DuPont did not like her, however, and put her in a sale in Virginia, where a man named C.M. Adams bought her for $250. She was taken up to the Genesee Valley in New York, where she became a lady's hack, and by all logic, this should have been the end of her. But in 1936, when she was 7, she was advertised for sale along with another mare named Princess Athene, a four-year-old, in one of the racing dailies. Mr. Burt saw the advertisement and was not much interested, but after it ran for a week or so with no takers, he began to consider buying her. Being busy himself, he sent his brother, the late Selby Birch, up to the valley to see her. He reported that both were sound and able to run, and that the asking price was $3,500 for the two. A deal was finally made at $2,500. Mr. Birch sent them to Kentucky and put them in charge of Price Sally, who got Galette to the races at Louisville. She raced in claiming races and was once second, once third. Several people wanted to buy her. And trainer Sally notified Mr. Burt that if he ran her again to be claimed, he'd lose her. So she was taken out of training, and the next year Mr. Burt traded a mare to Adolph Pons for a season to Ariel, to whom she foaled her first and only colt. As to the earlier deal, Mr. Burt got out when Princess Athene was claimed for $3,500. At about this time, W.O. Brand, having bred Chaladon out of a Sir Galahad III mare, was understandably looking for more daughters of that stallion to breed to Challenger II. By this time, Sir Galahad III mares were very much at a premium, and he couldn't find any. Mr. Birch, who has never bred horses on a large scale, suggested that he use Galette. Mr. Brand tried first to buy, then to lease her. But Mr. Birch would do neither, so ultimately an arrangement was worked out whereby she would be bred annually to Challenger II, with Mr. Brand taking the first foal. Mr. Birch was the next, as long as the agreement remained suitable to both. Mr. Brand got a good early return on the deal when Galette foaled on February 7, 1942, at his Glade Valley farm near Frederick, Maryland, the chestnut filly, which came to the races as Galarette. Now, as to her race record, let me talk about her a little bit, and I'd even give you her produce record, which is not bad. But anyway, Galarette got to the races at Law on the first start. She ran third. That was in September 1944 in a maiden special there. Then she won her next time out. She won her next two races, and then the first stakes race was also at Law in the Maryland Futurity. And she was beaten the nose by PTD, whom I don't remember. They put her next in an allowance race at Law, and she won by 5 lengths. And then Georgia Wolf rode her in the Salima Stakes at Law. That was up in October. And she finished third to Busher, of course, who was a great race mare, and Ace Card, who was a top-class mare, and incidentally, like Busher, a very good producer. In fact, the 1-2-3 finishers went on to become stakes producers. They moved over to Pimlico, and she ran second. She got beat by Monsoon, who was a Mahmoud filly that was a nice stakes filly. Then she ran second again, got beat. Then she won a first start in New York at Jamaica, an allowance race, beating Hit 'em in War Trophy. Sound like she went against Colts that day. Put her in a Wood Memorial, and she ran second to Jeep. Doc Stander ran third. But, you know, that'd be a pretty good effort. Then she went to Belmont Park for the Acorn, and this was R. Carroll rode her that day in the Acorn Stakes, and she won, beating Ma Soon and Reese. And went on a winning streak. She won the Pimlico Oaks next. Georgia Wolf rode her, and she beat Reese and Be Faithful. Then she went to Delaware Park in the Delaware Oaks and under R. Carroll, and she won, beating Elpis and Monsoon. In the Dwyer, she came back against the Colts, got beat a nose by Wildlife. Steam ran third. Sent her to Jamaica in the Empire City Handicap. And she won by 3/4 lengths, beating Pavitt. Pavitt, a son of Case Ace, who'd been a champion 2-year-old filly, 2-year-old colt of his years, undefeated. And then he won the Belmont Stakes the following year. She went to Garden State. She ran out of the money. Got beat 2 3/4 lengths. Finished fifth in the Jersey Handicap. They put her in the Discovery Handicap at Aqueduct. And she ran seventh that day. She was fifth in the handicap at Pimlico. Then she went in the Westchester Handicap and ran fourth. Just got beat 4 lengths just by Stymie. Buzz Fuzz in Olympic Zenith 2-3. Then she put her in a handicap that was just a handicap, and won the stakes overnight handicap. And she ran third, got beat the length and three quarters by Armed, Calumet's Grand Old Gilding, and Rempore and Rampart. Another mare, incidentally. In the Pimlico Special, she was fourth, and that was her last start of the year, and it was the first time she was ridden by Ted Atkinson. And she beat a really nice horseback named First Fiddle, and Stymie ran third. So that was pretty good feel. Okay. That was her last start. She ran, I don't know how many times. It looked like ran about 14, 15 times. They sent her to the next year. She made her first start at Jamaica in a slop. She ran fourth, the Fighting Steps. She was in against the boys again. Put her in the... what stakes was that? And it was the Excelsior. And then in the Gray Lag, which was, she was fourth again to Stymie, put her in the Metropolitan Handicap, and she won. She won by a nose, beating Surdy and First Fiddle. She came back in a handicapping run and won again, beating Mahmoudis and Darby Dundon. Then she ran out of the money in a Top Flight Handicap, won by Sicily. She won an allowance race at Delaware, and she then went second in the Sussex Handicap to Pavitt again. She won the Brooklyn Handicap, beating Gallaret and Stymie. Then she ran in a series of stakes there. She got beat a neck, she ran third, got beat a head, got beat a neck, ran third, won the Bayshore at Aqueduct by a neck, King Dorset. She's running against horses a lucky draw, and you know, Pavitt, horses like that. Edgemere Handicap, Stymie beat her again. Then she won the Beldame, got back against her own sex. She ran second in the Sisonby Handicap to a lucky draw, out of the money in the Trenton, and in her last two starts of the year as a 3-year-old, she ran eighth and sixth in the Sisonby and the Trenton Handicap. Next year, she started out with running fourth and fifth and third in the Metropolitan. Got beat by Stymie. Then the Queens County Handicap, she won, beating Stymie. Ran third in the Carter. Boy, she would sprint, go on. Rippy beat her, son of Stimulus, who was could fly. Yeah, I mean, he was some kind of a fast race horse. Beat her three and three quarter lengths in a Carter Handicap. She won an overnight handicap. She ran third in the Butler to Assault and Stymie. That's the kind of horse that she was running against. Well, she went third in the Monmouth Park handicap to Roundview and Talon. Talon, a great horse imported from South America. She won the Wilson, ran a mile in 35-2, beating Hornbeam and King Dorset. Got beat ahead in the Whitney by Rico Monde, another South American bred. And then Rico Monde beat her a neck in the Saratoga Handicap. Got beat a half a length by Stymie in the Aqueduct Handicap. Ran fourth in the Edgemere. Snow Goose beat her in both the Beldame and the Ladies Handicap. I mean, this mare ran a little bit, didn't she? Ran second in the Scarsdale Handicap to With Pleasure. Sonny, he did. He was a middle distance horse and. Went to stud over at Joe Manch's farm out on Shannon Run Road with Pleasure. Then she was out of the money in the Westchester Handicap, and in her last start that year, she ran second to Incline in the Brian O'Hara. The last race in the last year she raced, she got beat a neck starting out. The first stakes that she ran in was the Friends. She got beat by Carolyn A. And the Gallant Fox, she got beat a half length by the entry of Faultless and Fervent, Calumet. Ran fourth in the Metropolitan, run by Stymie. The Top Flight Handicap, she ran third. The Honeymoon in Red Shoes, Honeymoon, a son of a daughter of Alibi. The Carter Handicap, she won, beating Rippy. Won what she had to run at is 3/4 and 7/8 and 123-2. Got beat ahead in the Brooklyn Handicap by Canava. She won the Wilson, she won the Whitney, beating the Laurel Legion and Natchez. And then that was her last win of her career. She ran fifth, third, sixth, second, and ninth in successive races, and then was retired finally after 72 starts, 21 wins, 20 seconds, and 13 thirds. So the first time for her first foal, when she went to well, she was bred, they bred her to Lovely Knight, who was noted for siring jumpers. Stood over at Henry White. Well, I guess that would have been Cy White, his dad, at that time, because that was back in 1950, and I think Mr. Cy was still alone. His farm over right behind the Jot 'em Down store on the Russell Cave Road. And she produced a filly named Mademoiselle Lorette, who won, believe it or not, the Gallarette Stakes. set a new track record, incidentally. Ran second in the Barbara Fritchie, and then the Senator Island. And she produced a couple of nice stakes winners over there. A lovely Mademoiselle Lorette did. Mademoiselle Barker and Lovely Gale were out of her. They bred Gallarette to Mahmood. She had a filly named Gallimood, was unraced, but she was the dam of White Gloves the Second, who won the Desmond Stakes in Ireland, won the Irish St. Leger and the Ballymoss. And he went to stud, incidentally, over, if memory serves, at the Stallion Station when Lou Doherty and Harold Snowden had it over there. She had a filly by Citation that didn't win. A Discovered filly, another filly. She was unraced. They sent that one to Ireland also, and she was grand dam of a nice stakes winner over there named Lamone. She had a Royal Serenade gilding that won some races. Set a new track record up at Saratoga, going a mile and 5/8. Royal Serenade also stood over at the Stallion Station. Bred her to Native Dancer, and she had a stakes winner named Corbett. Won stakes. She won the Waterford Testimonial Stakes in Ireland, and she was the dam of Dancing Moss, was a nice stakes winner. It's Minestrella. She was a grand dam of Minestrella, who was a two-year-old over in Ireland. Also, Mystic Galore was the greatest stakes winner in this country. So, anyway, she produced, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 foals, two stakes winners. So she did very well as a producer, I would say. And let me see where I am right now. We're going to talk about another runner by De Hare. You just happened just the other day, last Sunday at Aqueduct. Maduha is her name. She's a two-year-old filly by De Hare. Broke her maiden in impressive fashion, overcoming a hard bump at the break. According to the chart, Maduha won a $70,000 maiden special by 4 lengths. She's owned by Shadwell Farm, trained by Kieran McLaughlin. To date, including current two-year-olds, De Hare has sired 14 winners from 19 starters. Among them, of course, the multiple graded stakes winner and grade one place Gypsy Robin. She's earned over $598,000. Asia, who ran second to Princess Silmar in the Busanda Stakes at Aqueduct earlier this year. And stakes place Cristella. Grade one stakes winner De Hare is the son of the elite sire Awesome Again, the only winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic, the sire winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic, co-leader among active sires of Breeders' Cup races, winners of Breeders' Cup races. Currently ranked 7th on the North American sire list among all active sires. De Hare is siring runners at Shadwell Farm. For more information about the Shadwell stands, call my friend Kent Barnes, 859-224-4585, and see the website at shadwellfarm.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen. And that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, grade one winner Over Analyze going to stand his first season as stud next year at Windstar Farm. Over Analyze, after winning his first start as a two-year-old, went on that year to win both the Grade 2 Futurity at Belmont and Aqueduct's Grade 2 Remsen, Now, those are two stakes long noted for quality winners that went on to become successful sires. Next year, he won the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby on his way to earnings of over $1 million. Overanalyzed is by Grade 1 winner and millionaire Dixie Union, who counts among his 46 stakes winners, four Grade 1 winners, including the winner of the Classic Belmont Stakes. And Overanalyzed is one of two Grade 1 winners produced by his dam, a half-sister. His half-sister, Meadowbreeze, won the Grade 1 Matron Stakes. Now, that's Overanalyzed's half-sister. Grand Individual, he was a $380,000 sales yearling. Overanalyzed was described by his trainer. He was trained by Todd Pletcher, and Mr. Pletcher said he's got speed and the ability to carry it. He's a tractable, smart horse. Overanalyzed entered stud for $10,000 to win a full stanza of nurses. Inquiries to Darren Fox, Leanna Packard, or Chance Tim. See the website, WindstarFarm.com. Alrighty, before I forget, next week we're on early again from 9 until 11. As you can tell by the racket, we're here in the clocker stand. Gets a little noisy in here, but not much you can do about it. But if we can live with it, I hope you can.
Atmosphere.
Yeah, atmosphere, Jackie says, yeah. Anyway, I've ended up with 60-some-odd workers, and it gets, you know, trainers coming in, and they have to communicate and everything, so that's the price you pay for doing it here. Well, yeah, I was doing that story about Gallaret. And many times that she, one of her contemporaries there that she met head on all the time was Stymie. And I'm going to read a little something that Joe Palmer wrote about Stymie. On the cold, blustery afternoon of January 28, 1921, several hundred persons huddled in the windswept stands of the old Kentucky Association track at Lexington to see one horse gallop past them. Down he came, a great red chestnut with a copper mane and a high head, flying the black and yellow silks of Samuel D. Riddle. This was Man of War, leaving the racetracks forever. 14 years passed before Lexington considered another horse worthy of a turnout. Then on March 11, 1935, some 500 citizens assembled on a foul, wet afternoon to see Equipoise take his last public gallop. This was at the private track of C.V. Whitney Farm, because it was in that unbelievable two-year period when Lexington had no public racetrack. The next performance, and as far as I know the last one, came on August 8, 1943, when Calumet Farm celebrated Whirlaway Day. By this time, the Chamber of Commerce had got into the act, and there was a remarkable spate of congressmen, southern oratory, news cameras, and radio announcers. This is not a complete list. It is unlikely, though you can never tell about a Chamber of Commerce, that there will be any such doings over Stymie when he arrives to enter the stud at Dr. Charles Haggard's Green Ridge Farm. It isn't that the other three were Kentuckians coming home and that Stymie's an outlander from Texas. It was thoroughly appropriate that Stymie should have his final public appearance at Jamaica, because he's a Jamaica kind of horse. Though I have no doubt he would do well in the stud, his kinship is with the racetrack, not the breeding farm. Man of War, Equipoise, and Whirlaway all were equine royalty from the day they were foaled. Stymie was common folks. It is true that he carries the blood of both Equipoise and Man of War, but all pedigrees are purple if you go back a little. He was the son of a horse that had won two common races, out of a mare that couldn't win any. Nobody ever thought the first three were anything but good. Stymie began as a $1,500 plater that couldn't get out of his own way. Stymie wasn't, of course, as good as any of the three, but he was immeasurably tougher. Could he have got to the races one more time, he would have started as many times as all three of the others together. If you want to clutter your mind with a perfectly useless bit of information, Man of War made his reputation by blazing 19 miles and 5 furlongs. Equipoise, stopping now and then to grow a new hoof, ran just a trifle over 50 miles in competition. Whirlaway lasted a little longer and lacked half a furlong of running 66 miles. But Stymie's journey to leadership among the world's money winners took him 142 miles, plus half a furlong and 60 yards. That's more than the other three together. Man of War and Equipoise and Whirl Away, each won the first time out at short odds, as they were expected to do. Stymie was 31-1 in a $2,500 claiming race, and he ran as he was expected to do, finishing seventh. He was out 14 times before he could win, and that was a $3,300 claimer. You're not to imagine that Stymie was accidentally and mistakenly dropped into a claiming race before anyone appreciated his quality. He ran 12 times in claiming races and got beaten 11 of them. He was, until the fall of his two-year-old season, right where he belonged. Then, from this beginning, he went on to win $918,485. This is, you will see, basically the story of the ugly duckling, of Cinderella among the ashes, of Dick Whittington and his cat, and of all the world's stories, none has ever been preferred to that which leads to the public and very glorious triumph of the oppressed and the downtrodden. Jamaica's horse players are, to some extent, oppressed and downtrodden, and perhaps in Stymie they find a vicarious success. The horse envisioned by a breeder in Kentucky or elsewhere is the son of a Derby winner out of an Oaks mare, which can sweep the Futurity at two and the Classics at three, and then come back to the stud and descend other great races to the wars. These are, roughly, the specifications which fit such horses as Citation and Count Fleet and War Admiral and the like. But the racetrackers, I think, save most of their affection for the Exterminators and the Stymies and the Seabiscuits, who do it the hard way in the handicaps, pounding out mile after bitter mile, giving weight and taking their tracks wet or dry, running for any jockey and trying with what they've got, even when they haven't got enough. That's why Stymie fitted a farewell at Jamaica better than a welcome in Kentucky. He's a curious horse, this obscurely bred Texas product. This tourist leaned on Jack Skinner's back fence at Middleburg one December for maybe a half an hour, just studying Stymie, which did not return the compliment, but went on picking up the scanty winter grass. Except for the crooked blaze, which gave him a devil-may-care expression, he's the most average horse you ever saw. Not tall, not short, not long, not close-coupled. Good bone, good muscle, good chest, nothing outstanding, nothing poor. As a result, of course, he is almost perfectly balanced, and maybe this is what makes him tick. However, there is another matter. When Stymie comes to the peak of condition, he exudes vitality so that you expect to hear it crackle. He comes to a hard, lean fitness that you seldom see in domestic animals, less than a hunting dog that has been working steadily, or perhaps a hunter that has been having his 10 miles a day over the fields. This is when, as Hirsch Jacobs says, he gets rough. It isn't temper or meanness. He just gets so full of himself that he wants things to happen. The faster he goes, the higher he carries his head, which is all wrong according to the book, but it is a characteristic of the tribe of man of war to which he is inbred. This tourist, who doesn't scare easily in print, will long remember the way Stymie came flying the turn in the Pimlico Cup handicap with his copper mane flying in the wind, making pretty good horses look as if they did just remember a pressing engagement with a quarter pole. He is not a great horse in the sense that Man of War and Equipoise are great. He isn't versatile. There are dozens of horses around that can beat him at a mile. And even at a mile and a quarter, he would have trouble with Armed or Lucky Draw, just as he had trouble with Devil Diver. He can't make his own pace, and he can't win slow races. He needs something up ahead to draw the speed from the field, to soften it up for his long, sweeping rush at the end. But give him a field with speed in it at a mile and a half or more, and horses had better get out of his way, even Whirl Away. Anyway, another fine and ardent, satisfactory story of the turf was brought to a close at Jamaica. And it was happy to note that for all the long campaign, it was no battered and limping warrior which left us. Stymie never looked better, with his bronze coat and great bloom, and the high head carried as proudly as ever. As he stood for the last time before the stands, people around the winner's circle enclosure were shouting to his groom, "Bring him here for just one more time." The groom didn't obey, and probably he was right. Stymie never got in the winner's circle without working for it. It was no time to begin.
That makes me cry.
All righty. How much time we got? Well, Well, in the mischief of sight of a home run horse in his first crop, last week at Santa Anita's Golden Sense, when the $1 million Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile broke from the outside, went right to the front, never looked back, won by almost three lengths. He's won four of the greatest stakes, including Grade 1 Santa Anita Handicap. He's earned nearly $2 million. He's one of five stakes winners from In the Mischief's first crop. A list that includes another graded stakes winner in Vijack, winner of the grade 2 Jerome, and a grade 3 Gotham. Sitting at the bar, she's won over $578,000 and placed in stakes. Now, they're all from the first crop by In the Mischief, who stands, of course, over at Spendthrift Farm. He's by Harlan's Holiday, a nationally ranked sire, just passed away. For more information about the Spendthrift Stallions and for personal inspection, get in touch with Ken Wilkins or Des Dempsey or Mark Duthacker, and see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. And don't forget, we're on early next week, once again from 9 till 11. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week. WLXT.